Last Friday, troops of the Northern Alliance captured the city of Mazar-i-Sharif. That was seen as a crucial advance, permitting the U.S. to start moving aid and supplies in from Uzbekistan. The city was also the scene of fighting that some reports depicted as a massacre. Alex Perry of Time magazine got to Mazar-i-Sharif today. He says he was the first journalist to get there. Perry says that even though most of the Taliban forces abandoned the city on Friday, the fighting continued through yesterday.
There were a few pockets of what they call tourists, which in fact are the Chechens, Uzbeks and Pakistanis who've joined the Taliban, who sort of decided to make a stand. And there was a main pocket of them, about 900, holed up in a girls' school in the southeast of the city, and after 3 days of negotiations still refused to surrender. The Northern Alliance attacked, and out of the 900, they took just 175 prisoners. And killed the rest.
Was it a firefight? That is, where the hundreds of fighters who were inside the school firing out at the Northern Alliance troops in an exchange of fire, or was it entirely one-sided?
No, it was extremely heavy fighting, from what I gather. The Northern Alliance have sort of managed to persuade most people who were left behind in the Taliban retreat to defect. And join them. And this is something that happens quite often in Afghanistan. Commanders switch from one side to the other and take their men with them. But as I say, these are Pakistanis, and they had determined basically to fight to the last man. The Northern Alliance surrounded the school, and I think a few sort of outer buildings, and isolated it, and thought that they could give the Taliban fighters no option but to surrender. And over 3 days, sent in delegations of people to try and convince them to give themselves up. From what I hear, this is unconfirmed at the moment, some of those delegates were in fact executed by the Pakistanis when they went in. And after 3 days, the commander simply lost patience and just launched a full-scale attack.
Now, this is the incident that, accounts of it reached the West, I think, from aid workers or possibly UN sources who had heard from others. It was described as an atrocity, the way the allegation reached us here, and then there were denials. What do you make of those allegations?
Well, I mean, the commanders I speak to, I met Atta, Mohammed Usad Atta, who's become sort of the unofficial mayor of Mazar now. He seems to be running the administration and so on, today, and asked him about those allegations. His response simply that, you know, we're at war. These people chose to fight, and you know, we took as many prisoners as we could, but they tried to fight to the last man, and you know, they practically did.
And as you describe it, the role that these non-Afghan fighters have in this war is in some respects very different from the role of the Afghans, be they Pashtun or Tajik or Uzbek.
Well, it is very different. The Afghans are, as I say, quite ready to switch sides as to whoever, you know, to whoever seems to have the upper hand. The foreign elements, however, are the sticking point in this. They have nowhere to go. They can't escape to Uzbekistan or Turkmenistan or Iran. Those borders are closed. Their only options are to try and disguise themselves in the local population, which is difficult, or to fight. And seeing as most of them are zealots who crossed into Pakistan, you know, to fight for a cause or something they believe in, they generally, or quite often, choose to fight.
Alex Perry, thank you very much for talking with us.
No problem.
Alex Perry of Time magazine, speaking to us from the city of Mazar-i-Sharif in the north of Afghanistan.